When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The WBEN All Local. All Local. A daily look at what's happening in Buffalo, Western New York, and the world.
I'm Susan Rose.
I'm Lucas Buckley, in for Brian Mazurowski.
Now that investors have had the chance to digest the first day of President Trump's tariffs, it's wait and see what happens next. Some business owners say they're worried about costs and consumers while the president vows to boost American manufacturing.
While tariffs are paid by companies importing products, economists warn these costs will likely be passed on to consumers. Fresh produce is expected to rise 7%. The average price of a new car expected to jump $5,800 in the short run, according to the Yale Budget Lab. President Trump was adamant that tariffs will boost manufacturing. That hasn't happened yet. U.S. manufacturing fell for the fifth straight month in July.
Under the Trump administration, we're doing everything possible to make this the best place on earth to build a factory or grow businesses.
That's Jacqueline Lee reporting.
Discussions continue about a potential meeting between President Donald Trump and Russian President Vladimir Putin, which could come as soon as next week.
Sources familiar with the negotiations tell Fox that a Trump-Putin summit was in the works as early as this coming Monday. Rome was considered as a destination. Putin floated the idea of meeting at the United Arab Emirates. The summit, though, fell apart because Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky tells the U.S. he won't be able to concede any territory in a peace deal with Russia. Only the Ukrainian parliament can do that. The plan was initially to hold a bilateral meeting with Trump and Putin, followed by a trilateral meeting with Trump, Putin, and Zelensky. But the president suggested on Thursday a meeting with Zelensky isn't a prerequisite for him.
That's Fox's Madeline Rivera. The president had set today as a deadline for Russia to make progress towards a ceasefire and threatened additional sanctions against Russia, along with tariffs against Russia's trading partners, if they didn't.
The new administrator of the FAA has met with Flight 3407 families. WBEN's Tom Puckett is here with more.
New FAA Administrator Brian Bedford met with Flight 3407 victims' families this week in Washington, among them Scott Maurer, who was among those asking about whether Bedford would roll back pilot training requirements.
When we pressed him, you know, could you commit to not making changes, he would not make that commitment not to make changes down the road. But right now, there's no intent to make any changes.
Bedford told Maurer and other family members he was focusing on other issues.
Namely, the DCA crash involving a helicopter and a regional airline, you know, both of which seem to indicate there's some issues with communications between how military aircraft fly and commercial aircraft fly.
Maurer says families are in agreement that should be the focus right now. But does Maurer expect to roll back in flight training rules? Here are his thoughts online. Tom Puckett, WBEN.com News.
Tom, thank you. And the FAA is going on a hiring spree to address a national staffing crisis.
The FAA says it expects to sign up almost 9,000 air traffic controllers over the next few years. It'll help address a shortfall of nearly 3,000, but it may not be enough. The workforce plan estimates that because of projected losses from the current pool and washouts among recruits, the FAA expects to have just 1,000 additional certified controllers by the end of fiscal 2028. The agency's been scrambling to improve air safety after the mid-air collision near Reagan International in January that killed 67 people. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
In Western New York, we're going to be cranking up the heat this weekend.
90 tomorrow, low 90s for Sunday, Monday, near 90 again on Tuesday. So it's going to be a long stretch of temperatures that'll be well above normal. And if we're going to break a record, Monday looks like the day we're going to do it. Forecast high 93, the record high 92.
That's meteorologist Aaron Menkowski. It's been abnormally dry as well. Western New York approaching moderate drought status. And the next chance for rain is the middle of next week.
It's the 12 best days of summer at the Erie County Fair, but there's something special about the first day. Admission was free on Wednesday with the donation of 4 cans of non-perishable food benefiting Feed More Western New York. A huge crowd turned out and the canned goods piled up. Feed More officials announced last night that a record 164,000 pounds of food was collected, beating last year's record of 153,000 pounds. Feed More is grateful for all of those donations. And those are just pounds. Break that down into how many cans of food that is. My goodness, I can only imagine what that is. Yeah,
they were filling tractor trailers. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
The Bills will kick off the preseason at home tomorrow in Orchard Park against the New York Giants. Josh Allen will not play. The Bills will possibly be without James Cook as well as the running back continues his holdout. Head coach Sean McDermott spoke about Cook yesterday.
We move forward. It's an opportunity for somebody else to step up, show us what they've got, and the team moves forward. That's the nature of the business. You get these reminders from time to time that it is a business, and you know. But at the same time, we've got to move forward as a football team, and that's on an individual basis and a team basis. So you know, we care for Jimbo, we care for him and his family, and we look forward to having him back.
Kickoff tomorrow is at 1 o'clock.
In California, the Canyon Fire north of Los Angeles burned nearly 5,000 acres in just a few hours.
The Canyon Fire exploded on the scene Thursday and quickly grew to thousands of acres, fueled by extremely dry conditions, scalding temperatures, and gusting winds.
Oh my God, from the time we saw the smoke, within an hour, we had ashes, and then we knew we were in trouble.
Carlos Rodriguez with the Silver Strand Movie Ranch. The fire burning near Lake Piru prompted evacuation orders for Los Angeles and Ventura counties. The fire's threatening people and animals. A heartbreaking video showed a cow running to escape the blaze. Carmen Roberts, Fox News.
Partially driven by intense heat and dry air, the Lee and Elk fires in Colorado have burned more than 73,000 acres this week. Hundreds of firefighters are working round the clock to try to contain the flames, with many of these crews facing an uphill battle.
The conditions that we're seeing on this fire are right up there in the higher end of things that I've seen fire behavior-wise.
That's Casey Cheeseborough, incident commander of the Rocky Mountain Complex Incident Management Team.
And there's been a scary incident on a cruise ship in the Caribbean.
No more slide! Stop the slide!
Panic on a Royal Caribbean cruise ship after an acrylic glass panel broke off a water slide on the Icon of the Seas, sending water gushing in through a gaping hole while guests were riding down. The cruise line says one man is in stable condition after he was treated for injuries. No word on the severities. An investigation is underway, and the slide's been closed for the rest of the sail. Deborah Rodriguez, CBS News.
And the incident happened on the same ship where one crew member stabbed another last month before jumping overboard. That's a cursed ship.
Yeah. But I did see the video of this water slide thing. That water was literally gushing out of
it. I got to check it out. That's dangerous. When all that water piles onto the deck of a ship, that can cause some real damage
to the ship. Yeah, a little worried about that.
Here at Blue Apron, we know exactly how hectic school nights can be. That's why we created Assemble and Bake. Delicious one-pan meals that make family dinner simple. Just assemble the pre-chopped ingredients and put the pan in the oven to bake. Then you're free to help out with that last-minute diorama. Shop Assemble and Bake at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
The exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast calls for temperatures rising into the middle 80s today and actually dealing with sunshine and not just hazy conditions. Temperatures through the night are dropping into the lower 60s, nice and comfortable and mainly clear. For Saturday, we'll have highs in the mid and upper 80s across the region. And for Sunday, expect more sunshine and more heat with highs near 90. With your exclusive WBEN 7 weather forecast, I'm meteorologist Autumn Lewandowski.
Spotlight on ErieNet, high-speed internet. Erie County legislator Lindsay Larigo is on the WBEN live line with us this morning. The rollout has run into all kinds of problems, but Lindsay, was this really first announced in 2019?
It was. It's been that long ago that this plan was first announced by the county executive. At that point, it was also told that it would cost about $20 million. We're now over $30 million into this project, and still nobody's been hooked up to the service.
Lindsay, have any efforts been made by the director of ErieNet to maybe update the legislature on what's happening exactly?
No, there have been no updates from the director to the county legislature. The county legislature did form ErieNet as a separate corporation, which was a mistake since the beginning. It never should have happened. If this was a project that the county was going to own, we should have had more direct oversight over it. By forming it as its own quasi-government corporation, we really gave up our oversight capabilities. And she really doesn't have to come and talk to us, and that's part of the problem here. There's no accountability. I think it's just becoming a slush fund for political patronage jobs. I mean, they've spent millions of dollars in just administration so far and administrating nothing since 2019. This was announced and supposed to be completed in 2020. It was announced in 2019. It was supposed to be completed in 2023, I believe, and it's 2025, and we still only have 20 miles of the 400 miles that were promised.
What explanations have you heard about why there have been so many problems?
It's all the same problems that were discussed at the beginning of this project. The county does not own the lines, the telephone poles that the wire needs to be strung on. So there needs to be agreements with the companies like NYSEG, et cetera, that own those lines. They don't want us to put their lines on the telephone poles that they own. It's a liability for them. We have no control over it. These were all the same conversations that happened in 2019 when this project was proposed. And, you know, you see in the Buffalo News, you have the director of ErieNet and Mark Poloncarz, his chief of staff, saying that, you know, folks don't realize that the county doesn't own these poles. Yes, they did. Everybody talked about this since the beginning, that this would be a huge problem, and they're acting like it came out of nowhere. And we knew exactly what the problem was going to be back in 2019, and in 2025, they're saying that they're surprised that this is a problem. In addition to that issue, this is only a middle mile. It is not the final mile of fiber. So that means that it just creates a backbone that you need private providers to hook up to. In 2019, when this was announced, they did start talking to providers to see if they would be interested in putting up that final mile, to which the provider said no. There's all of the problems that are happening today have been talked about for the past 6 years. There's no reason that they're new today. It's just the excuse today.
So like you said, if no providers are interested, then why keep pursuing it?
The mentality was, if you build it, they will come. They are saying that they're in conversation with providers. But I think it's pretty clear that if they had actual interest in hooking up, that's when you would see the county executive out at doing a press conference about it. But you're not seeing that. I think this was really a vanity project. I think from the county executive, you often see these really big promises from the state of the county. You know, last year he said that county snowplows would be running on chicken wing fuel this year, and that's not happening. So there's all of these really big promises. This was at the time that we had American Rescue Plan money. So money was just flowing in like we'd never seen before. And I think this was just money spent. It got really good headlines at the beginning. And I think, unfortunately, that's what this project was about more than actually delivering results. So now at this point, the county has spent over $30 million. Sure, $34 million of it is American Rescue Plan money. It doesn't make it an excuse. It doesn't make it okay. I think this was viewed as quote unquote free money. It's not. We're all taxpayers. We've paid for it one way or the other. We should have used that money to take care of existing resources. We could have fixed roads that will never be touched otherwise because they don't qualify for state and federal grants. We could have fixed bridges that we couldn't have ever fixed before. We could have used really generational projects could have been done with this money, but instead this was, I think, a vanity project that still has gotten nowhere. And at this point, when we're bleeding money, at what point do we pull the plug? I mean, how much we've only spent money on wire. We have 20 miles up out of 400 in 6 years. How much are we going to keep kicking to the taxpayers? And unfortunately, the director of ErieNet and the commissioner that's in charge of this project, they don't have the answers.
Yeah. So what is the next step here? Is there a point where the county needs to stop and reassess as to whether this should even go forward?
I think we're far past that point. I think that point should have happened in 2022, but here we are today in 2025. If it's up to me, I sent a letter to the director of ErieNet as well as the commissioner that's in charge of this project, asking for updates, asking several really basic questions, like when is the project going to be complete? What are the actual road barriers? I personally refuse to accept the idea that what is blocking this is red tape. We knew there was going to be red tape. I think that's totally unacceptable as an answer of what's blocking this project. The next point is I hope that they respond and provide the answers and we have the committee discussion that I requested. If it's up to me, I think we need to dissolve ErieNet and go back to the drawing board. Unfortunately, the American Rescue Plan's funds are allocated and spent, and that's money down the drain. But this is an absolute failure that somebody needs to take responsibility for, and that's the county executive.
And Lindsay, you mentioned responsibility, and you also mentioned taxpayers. Do you think we're beyond the point where somebody in charge should have informed the public about what exactly is going on?
Absolutely. We should have been getting updates as this progressed. Their meeting minutes are public, but they don't give a lot of information. We absolutely should have been informed. I think at the point that this exceeded the amount of money that we expected it to, there should have been a larger conversation with the county legislature. One of the questions I asked in my letter and one of the questions I asked during our mid-year budget hearings a couple weeks ago that went unanswered is we don't even have this up yet. And how much is this going to continue to cost taxpayers? Let's say we do get it up. Let's say we get one provider to tap into, a mile of the 400 when it, finally goes up 10 years from now. Let's say we get somebody to tap in. How much are we going to continue to pay for maintenance? How much are we going to continue to pay for administration costs? I mean, this is all just added on the county tax bill, and we're all paying for it, and I think it's absolutely ridiculous. If I told you in your personal home budget that you had to start paying for something that you were getting no service for, you'd cancel it. And I think that's more of the kind of attitude we need at the county level. Unfortunately, I don't think this county executive has the appetite to take responsibility for this project that was a failure and, take it off the tax bill.
Lindsay, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
That's the WBEN All Local. All new episodes are made available each weekday morning, produced by the award-winning WBEN Newsroom.